Hello, I'm Dr. Frank Sparandaro, host of Sunday Afternoon Classics here on WHFC. In addition to providing great musical entertainment of various genres, WHFC is committed to being a partner with our community here in Harford County. We work with community organizations by lending our voice to those who help make our lives a little better. Our focus for today's special program involves those members of our community who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. Having these challenges makes it more difficult for them to complete traditional school programs and to be employed in competitive job settings. As it is estimated that 1 in 10 U.S. families are affected, this can be a struggle and source of frustration for many members of our own community. I am pleased to be joined today by Craig Brown and John Stout, program managers from Aspire Living and Learning. Aspire is an organization here in Harford County that assists individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities to live healthier and happier lives. Thank you both for joining me today and for sharing your efforts in helping needier members of our community.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Okay, great.
Thanks. So first of all, let's get started. What is an intellectual and developmental disability?
That would be any diagnosis that affects a person's social ability, intellectual disability, practical skills in a regular life setting.
Okay. Thank you, John. Now, tell me a little more about your organization, Aspire Living and Learning, and what kinds of programs and services that you offer to help individuals with these problems, and where are you located here in Harford County?
Aspire Living and Learning is a residential and a day rehabilitation provider for special needs adults ages 21 and up. We offer residential services, meaning that the individuals can live in our many houses that we have with others in the home, like a group home setting, but it's a home within the community. And our day rehabilitation program has supported employment and vocational programs, and we do day rehabilitation services, meaning we take our individuals out into community for a meaningful day.
Okay. You mentioned older, the age group. Can you tell me what it is again, Craig?
It's 21 and older.
21 and older.
Yes.
And why is that? Why don't you take care of the younger population?
Those who have intellectual disabilities, they are able to stay in school until the age of 21.
Oh, okay.
So they are on certificate track as opposed to diploma track. So once they age out of the public setting, which is at the age of 21, then they're eligible for services through development through DDA for services within a residential program or just the day rehabilitation program.
And what is the DDA?
Department of Disability Services.
Okay. Yeah, we have a lot of acronyms, I know. Sometimes helps our audience to know what they are, so thanks so much. I know that there are federal laws involving intellectual and developmental disabilities that actually go back to 1975, and they establish a need for educational services for individuals and for those individuals with disabilities. And one of these laws states that disability in no way diminishes the right of individuals to participate in or contribute to our society. And I thought that was a very appropriate statement to make. And I wondered how your programs at Aspire, you mentioned those, Craig, or you or John, can tell us a little more about what are those programs that help individuals to participate in our society and contribute in a meaningful way?
First off, at Day Options, all of our individuals participate in what we call a person-centered planning. That's to encompass an entire group of circle of their support. That's parents, family members, people that they find important that live within them, whether they work with or they live around. And at that point in time, interests, needs, wants are brought to our attention. We then work together as a team to develop goals that would help perform and help them reach what they classify as a meaningful day. You're going to hear that terminology a lot, meaningful day. A meaningful day is what's meaningful to them. It could be going out to the park. It could be going to the movies. It could be going golfing, anything. Anything that's actually meaningful for them. So we put them into situations where they get to meet members of the community and develop those relationships within the community so they not only have a strong relationship when they're with Day Options and Aspire, but also when they go home, they'll still have those relationships within the community that they can, elaborate on.
I know the language that we use to talk about these issues is very important, and it was a law that I wasn't familiar with until I got in touch with both of you is something called Rose's Law, which goes back to 2010. And I was impressed to find out that Maryland had something to do with that. And that was through then-Senator Barbara Mikulski of our state of Maryland, who introduced the bill. And for our listeners who may not be aware, well, the law actually changed the term mental retardation, which was a term that we've used in the past, to intellectual disability. And I thought that was an important change, the description. And I wonder if you could, either of you, Craig or John, tell us a little more about, you know, your thoughts on that and how Aspire helps individuals with intellectual disability.
So the term mental retardation is something that we've, as an entire society, have moved away from. What that has done is it's basically created this social stigma that our individuals are fighting to break through. And we, as an Aspire, as Day Options, we help them, you know, push through that so that that's not a stigma anymore.
Okay.
Right. Mental retardation had a negative connotation, meaning that when you made that reference, people thought that the person was stupid or crazy or something like that, like you're retarded. And right. And that's not the case with our individuals that we serve and those with special needs. They're not slow. They're not retarded. They have special needs that we as a society need to work better to help them accommodate.
Right. And you mentioned a little earlier about a concept called a meaningful day, which I really like that description. And I know that obviously for all of our listeners, we're all aware that getting through a typical day requires a lot of individual skills. Maybe we don't stop to think about that, but what needs to be accomplished, what needs to be done, and to achieve a sense of accomplishment to do that. It's easy, it seems, for everyone to do that, but for the individuals that you're dealing with, I wonder if you can give me some examples. You mentioned like taking them to a park or to some other setting. What are some specific examples of what you would do to create that meaningful day for the individuals in your care?
For me, a meaningful day is different for everyone. Someone being able to get out of the home and just come into our center, first of all, might be meaningful for them because they may not get out very often. Our individuals come 5 days a week. They come and speak, interact with our staff. They interact with each other. For like an hour and a half, they come in. And then from there, we're in the community all day, meaning we go to whatever activity we have scheduled. They're able to socialize with those in the community. They speak to those in the community. We make sure that they're safe. And we make sure that they have fun. That's the goal and what we mean by a meaningful day. They may be able to participate in a vocational activity. We often volunteer at shelters. We volunteer at food banks, things of that nature. So being able to give back to the community in addition to have fun, I think is what we consider a meaningful day.
Is it difficult for many of the individuals you deal with as interacting with other people in the settings that you described?
I don't think it's difficult for our individuals to interact. I think it's difficult for other people to interact with our individuals because a lot of them don't understand what they are seeing as far as our individuals' special needs. And if you don't have an understanding of what you're seeing, a lot of people shy away from that or tend not to want to get involved with that. So I think education for the community would play a big part in helping our individuals normalize being in the community and people seeing them out there.
I think it's a very important point. I think it's important for our listeners to understand that part of what we're doing right now is not just to talk about the individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, but for the general, all of us in the general public, to be more aware and to be more sensitive to the needs of individuals around us.
Correct.
So it's important to have programs like the ones that you work for that are meaningful and provide that kind of day, and also for us to understand, you know, how we interact with that. So I think that's a great point. I know that everybody has their own personal wish for happy life and their own needs. And how do you accomplish that? How do you overcome that the difficulties for some of the individuals you work with who can't express their needs or their wishes through speaking or writing? And then what other ways of expression do you encourage? Is it through drawing or painting or singing or some other way?
So the most important part of what we do is developing the relationship between the staff member and the individual. So eventually what will happen is the individual will trust the staff member enough, and then they'll let them in. Be it if they're verbal or nonverbal, they will go to what they enjoy. And a staff member will then take note and then work specifically with that individual and what they really enjoy. If they love to do puzzles, we'll come in, we'll do a puzzle. They love to go and listen to, Amy Grant. They'll go and listen to Amy Grant. If they want to sit and play a video game, they'll help and support them. They don't have to be verbal in order to understand, especially with people, the staff that work in this field. They're a different type of person. It's a very different type of person that works in here, and they're very in tune with a lot of people's feelings and needs. Just by going, they're almost you could call them almost a natural caretaker, or someone that definitely has that. They're in touch with another person on a different type of level. So that's what we do, our staff, and what Craig and I do. We help facilitate the staff members and the individuals to really enjoy what they do every single day.
Right. In addition to what John said, body language plays a big part in communication also. So they may not be able to verbalize or write down what they're looking for or what they need. You read the body language, and you can figure it out. You also make sure we can have open lines of communication with the families. The families know more about the individual than we will. They're the ones that's been around them for their entire life, basically. So we take a lot of input from the families also, and they are included in the person-centered plans that are created for each individual.
So it sounds like you take a very collaborative approach,
correct?
A very holistic one, and you customize it to the individual's needs.
Yep. It's funny you say customized, because the plans are called person-centered plans.
Are they? Okay.
Yes, they're called person-centered plans because each individual is different, so everybody has their own separate plan and their own set of rules or guidelines we're going to try to follow and goals to accomplish for each one.
Right. Oh, that's a really great discussion. Well, it's been a very enlightening conversation so far, so let's take a short break, and then we're going to return with Craig and John to continue talking about the great work that they do for those in need in our community. Welcome back to part two of our interview on WHFC 91.1 FM with Craig Brown and John Stout from Aspire Living and Learning, as we continue our dialogue about the special needs of those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Welcome back, Craig and John.
Thank you.
We've had a discussion so far just introducing the topic of intellectual and developmental disabilities, and you've been giving some insights into the programs and services that you provide at your facility on a day basis. And, we've talked a lot about the individuals that you have and their ability to express their needs, or maybe not so much, but there's always a way of expression, and you're able to identify that. Another term that I've come across in learning more about this topic is a concept called self-advocacy, and I see that expression very commonly used. I see it as a way of promoting what's important for me, but how do you assist the individuals that you care for who are unable to do this for themselves? How do you promote that concept for them?
Well, there's actually a few ways. We utilize some assisted technology devices, iPads, phones, computers. And once again, I'll reiterate again, developing the relationship with not only the individual, but also with the family. The family and the individual and the relationship, that is really what needs to happen in order to really help them advocate for themselves. We have a Voices of Us, which is a self-advocacy group that was developed September 2016. That has been running steadily through, even through the pandemic. Now, we did have to stop, and we did have to stop in-person meetings, but we still resumed virtual sessions, and I'm glad to say about 6 or 7 months ago, we started to do in-person having people back in and having advocacy groups back in there. So this would happen once a month, and it would typically be held in the evening time. But that's something else that we do as far as Aspire. We have a self-advocacy group that has been successful for over 6 years now.
Wow. So the individuals themselves participate in this program?
Correct.
And another organization called the Providence Center also participates, so.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. That's great. It's great that you're using, you know, modern technology with all the individuals that you work with. That kind of leads me to social media. You know, how do you use social media to create opportunities for people with disabilities, and how, you know, how can they network with each other?
So we are actually very in tuned with our social media footprint. At Aspire, we have a Facebook, a Twitter, an Instagram, a YouTube, and a LinkedIn.
Wow.
So we are,
that's
we
impressive.
Are, we have a very vast social media outreach. A lot of our individuals also are on social media as well. So if they are interested and they don't have a social media account, staff will help set them up.
Oh, that's great. That's really great. It's very interesting to see that. You know, when I did have a chance to visit your facility recently, I was impressed by the great deal of art that covers the walls by many of your participants. And I wondered if you can tell me a little bit more about that aspect, not the technology so much, but the artistic expression. You know, what are individuals expressing through the artwork that's there?
Well, not only the artwork, we utilize music, karaoke, videos. So as far as the art goes, though, we let them do what they feel. We come in with a framework often, and we try to guide them and let them know what the plan is for the artwork. But ultimately, it's up to them to express themselves. We don't try to control what they do. Even though we may have something in mind, working in this field is very very, it fluctuates often, and you have to go with the flow.
Right.
You can't be rigid in your thinking. Mm-hmm. You have to be flexible and understand that the individuals come first, and as long as they're being safe, then they could pretty much do what they feel within our environments or the environments of the activities that we go on. They sing every day. they play instruments every day. Art and music are a fun way to express themselves, and it also gives us an insight on how they're feeling for that day. So if we have a art project and they are participating, but they're going off doing something kind of dark or something that we like, hey, what is that? It opens up lines of communication between us and them to figure out what's going on with them, if it's something that we're not familiar with them doing or it's out of their norm. And it also and that allows us to speak to the families and say, hey, such and such did this today. What's going on? So it's a way of them communicating with us, and then in turn, us communicating with them and their families to make sure that everything is okay.
So it's safe to say the arts are an important part of the program.
100%. It's incorporated every day. Every day.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, it's an area of interest to me, hosting a classical music program. I'm always interested in how classical musicians were able to express their own emotions and thoughts in their music, as we do with all music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to hear that you have a kind of a similar experience, you know, with the people in your program, which is really great. I also was impressed with something when I visited your facility in your reception area. There was a little sign, and it was a five-letter word, and it said dream. And I just thought about that for a while. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to forget that everyone, including those with special needs, have dreams too. And I wonder what kind of dreams that your participants express to you.
So we're very blessed to work with some amazing individuals, some absolutely amazing individuals. And some of their interests range from being a roadie on a huge country concert tour, to being a professional baseball player or a basketball player, to being a Disney animator.
Wow.
You know, the dreams you don't think about, but sometimes when you look at our population and you look at them, you're like, well, they're just getting through the day. But they have dreams, they have wants, they have wishes, just like you and I do. And sometimes they're even more elaborate and more thought out and have, mm-hmm. you know, better structure than,
yeah.
you know, and they,
yeah.
they have an idea on how they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we support them. If they want to do this, we will support them as much as we possibly can to help make their dreams come true.
Just two examples of dreams that, and we didn't help them accomplish these dreams, but they share them with us. We have two individuals that participated in the Special Olympics. One got a, he got a gold medal, right, John? One got a gold medal in kayaking, and I think that was in the last weekend. And then we have another individual. She got, I think, three gold medals and a couple silver medals in swimming.
Yes.
In the Special Olympics. So they accomplished their dreams. We may not understand how they can accomplish them by looking at them, but they're just like you and I. Everyone has special needs in some way or another. Just some are more prevalent than others. That's all.
Well, that's a great way to express it, you know, that we all have dreams, everyone. And we express those dreams in different ways,
right,
but we can accomplish them. And with the help of people like yourselves who are dedicated and committed to doing this, clearly talking with you about this, you know, what you express is a lot more than work. This comes from the heart. This comes from deep inside. So
they make, I smile every day at work.
That's wonderful.
I smile every day at work.
That's great to hear. It shows. It shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think my last question is, now that we've covered, you know, this whole topic very well, I think, and very thoroughly, is, well, what can the community out there, community members, do themselves if they want to help with your initiatives and your programs? How can they get involved?
Well, this is great, because this is exactly what we are here to talk about, too, as far as push, you know, let you guys know about what we do. So we are at allinc.org. That's allinc.org. You can follow us on all the social media platforms under Aspire Living and Learning. And under there, you can, if you choose to, there's a donation. You can make donations. We are a 100% nonprofit organization, so we do rely on the funding from the state and federal governments, as well as donations that come in from the community. And if you are a business owner, an individual, a person within the community that has any type of free, low-cost experiences that you think that our individuals would like, please contact us. We are at 2109 Laura Bush Road, Bel Air, Maryland, 21015, and you can reach us at 443-468-9815.
All right. Well, thank you very much, John.
We're also hiring for our residential and day options programs.
Okay.
The number that John gave you, 443-468-9815, can be used to give us a call to inquire about any current positions we have available.
And if anybody's ever interested in actually coming by and actually seeing what it is a day program does, you can contact that phone number too, and you can schedule just a tour, and we'll more than willingly walk you through and show you exactly what we do on a regular basis.
We're looking for career-minded, passionate, educated, and skilled people to join our day options team, and we're also looking for those who want to learn.
Well, I think we've all learned a lot today in this special program, and I want to thank you so much for being here today. I mean, it's been an amazingly helpful and enlightening discussion. And thank you both, Craig and John, for taking time to talk with me about the work that you do at Aspire Living and Learning, and work that helps to improve the lives of many of our in our community with special needs, and for helping them to dream. I'm Dr. Frank from WHFC, and thank you so much for listening to this special program.